People have always thought that they're living in the end times, partly because they're right, obviously, but it's always been like this. I remember when I was in sixth form in 1979, and the Russians invaded Afghanistan, and we all thought, is this it? Is there going to be a proper shooting war now? Russians and Americans throwing missiles at each other. Is this going to be it? And my English teacher, who was a bit older than me, obviously, he said, no. I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962, when we all thought that Russia and America were going to start a shooting war. And we all had to hide under tables and things like that. And anyone, there will be a time where it seemed like it was all going to end. There will be a time when it seemed dark and dangerous, probably because it was. So what do we do about it? Do we cower, or do we carry on with what it is we're supposed to be doing anyway? Jesus speaks of this, that there will come a day when he comes back. And the ones who will be saved are the ones who are found doing what it is they've been told to do, regardless of what that is, regardless of how big, how small, how mighty, how mundane. The ones who are doing the Lord's work will be saved. And this is not to say that they earned their way into heaven. That's the old Protestant work ethic. Yes, we are saved by what we... No, we're not. No, we're not saved by what we do. We do what we do because we are saved and because we have noticed. God calls us to do stuff. The very, very least that we can do is do it. So wars and rumours of wars, dark times abounding, but the light will come. And that's partly what Advent is about. That's partly why it is at the darkest time of year. It was originally just to remind the farmers that yes, the spring is coming. But it was to reassure that however dark things seem, however dark things were, the light is coming. And the light is here already. Unto us is born a son. And this was a prophecy. This was not something that Isaiah expected to live to see. He was speaking forward. He was thinking of those beyond himself, after himself, the ones that will live on after he has died. This was for them. There's a cartoon, as you may know, there's some controversy about global warming and all the things that we can do to make the world better. And there's a cartoon about a big meeting about this. There's various things up on the board. And somebody stands up and says, but what if this is a hoax and we just made a better world for nothing? If we can make a better world, then we should. If we can make a difference to somebody else's life, then we should. If we can help one another in the way that Christ told us to do, then we should. Look to the future now. It's only just begun. If we believe in Jesus, we must work for the kingdom. We must build the future. Even if, especially if, we have no idea what that will look like. At North Winchester now, we're asking the hard questions. What can we do to build and grow a church that has remained static in numbers for some years now, and so is steadily getting older? What can we do to grow that church? Who can join us? How will they know? What can we do about that? How do we reach them? What does the church look like 2, 5, 10 years from now? We don't know. But it's awfully fun finding out. We don't know. And so we're asking the big, hard questions of ourselves. Is what we do on a Sunday the best way to reach people? Is what we do in the week the best way to reach people? Is what we do in the week a help or a hindrance? And so on and so forth. Change is the only constant. I'm terribly sorry about that, but it's true. Change is the only constant in our lives. Think about, again, I am old enough and young enough to remember when there were 2 television channels. This will come as a shock to some of you over there. Hello. Yeah. In fact, yes, there are people in this room who are old enough to remember when there was only 1 and Grace Archer died in a fire. Anyway, right. Two television channels. And if you missed a programme, tough. There was no machine, no little button, no way of seeing it again apart from waiting for the repeat eventually. Things change. This little block here, this little thing. Again, there was a joke on Twitter. Somebody said, if this is the future, where's my jetpack? And somebody else said, and I bet you wrote that on a phone that you used to look up the internet. So here's this thing. And it is. It's a communications device. I can send emails. I can read maps. I can use a sat nav. I can talk to people. There's all sorts of games. And 10, 12, 15 years ago, this thing didn't exist. If people had a mobile phone, they used it for making phone calls. Remember those? 25 years ago, mobile phone was quite big. Some people will remember the first time a mobile phone appeared on Tomorrow's World, back in the 70s. It was powered by a car battery, and it was the size of a small Hoover. It was a big thing. It was a change, and change is the only constant. So you can either stand athwart the history shouting stop, or you can go with it. And let's face it, go with it is much more sensible, because you have to. I'm the IT specialist at work, not because I am an IT specialist, but because I'm a computer genius in comparison to everybody else. And so I'll get phone calls in the middle of the day going, how do you do this? And I'm like, right, okay, let's take this very slowly. Press that button. No, press that. No, press, yeah. And because I understand the software that we use for ordering books. Dull but necessary. And sometimes life's like that. Sometimes you have to just embrace the dull. You have to embrace the necessary. You have to read the instructions. I'm so sorry. But you do. It's not good enough to guess. It's like putting together IKEA furniture without looking at the instructions first. It's fun, but no. Yeah. Sometimes you have to go with the change. Even if you don't want to, even if you'd really rather not, because that's where the future is. And that's where God is. That's where God is moving. in our lifetimes, such radical change can be overwhelming. But remember, and I've said this before, Christ's peace is not the absence of the storm. Christ's peace is the ability to cope with the storm. Remember the time when he is on the boat and with the disciples, and a storm arises, and the disciples are terrified. At that precise moment, what is Jesus doing? He is asleep. So he doesn't need to find Christ's peace in order to cope with the storm. He already has it. He is asleep. The storm is not bothering him. Everybody else is in a panic, running around in circles. Jesus, calm, centered, cope. And then the disciples go, can you do something about this? And Jesus goes, yes, I can, and does. But he didn't need to for himself. He didn't need to do it for himself. He did it because the others needed him to, because it would make their lives better to cope with, because they were not coping with the storm. And so Christ brought his peace to bear on the situation. And that is one of the things that we are called to do. We are called to find Christ's peace for ourselves and to pass it on to others. And sometimes that is not the ability to make the storm go away, but the ability to help somebody else get through it. So here we are. Here it is, Merry Christmas. Here we are at that time of year where these things are thrown into a sharper contrast. That it somehow seems wrong that people don't have enough toys for themselves. Where it somehow seems wrong that they don't have enough food. That it somehow seems wrong that they are on their own. And it seems wrong because it is. But we are in a position to do something about it. We are in a position to be the bringers of light. And sometimes that is not easy for us because we too are suffering. And that's exactly how it's supposed to be. That sometimes we will need somebody else's help and sometimes we will be able to be the somebody giving the help. It's not a competition. It's not a straight line. It's not unusual for these things to be happening in our lives. Dave Eggers, the American writer, talks, he wrote a book called A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius, it's a great book, basically his parents died and left him in sole charge of his school-age younger brother. And so he, a fledgling adult, did the best he could. And some of it went right, and some of it went spectacularly wrong. And that was normal. That was his life now. And he talks in the notes at the end about thunderstorms and rainbows. They happen at the same time. That the brilliant and the terrible will appear in one person's life. That's normal. That's life. And so you go with it. You do the best you can. You make the best decision you can with the information you have available at the time, and sometimes you're right and sometimes you're not. But the extra dimension that we have is that we know that God is with us in all this. We know that Christ
Isaiah told us it would be so. Promises made, promises kept. Unto us is born a son. Unto us a child is given. And he will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the greatness and his government and peace there will be no end. Why did Christ come? Why did Christ come? Because the world needed him to. Because there was darkness and God needed to bring light. In a book called Wishful Thinking, the American theologian Frederick Buechner talks about how God had tried through various prophets and various leaders, and some of it had worked and some of it hadn't. And so God needed to bring himself. Word made flesh, Emmanuel, Christ with us, Christ in us, Christ amongst us. God needed to put himself in the picture in order to make some sense of it all. Word made flesh. And we have that word. We have that truth. We have that with us. We have him with us. We have the words in the Bible. We have the Gospels. We have the Christmas story and everything that flowed from that moment. And we have our own lived experience. The times that we have known that Christ is with us. The things that we can remember. The things that we can share. Or that we can hear from somebody else. Someone else who can say, this was true. This is true. This is how it was. This is how it is. And this is how it will be. The other thing that talks of darkness and light, and you'll hear it again before Christmas at least once, is the beginning of John's Gospel. But I'm going to read it anyway. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Some of the older versions of the Bible, that line is, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Which, of course, there's two meanings to that. Some translations of the Bible say, and the darkness did not understand it. Which is all right. Yes, this is true. But the darkness did not overcome. The darkness comprehend. We all know what comprehensive means. If you have comprehensive insurance, it insures everything. If you have comprehensive education, you were taught a bit about everything. I went to a comprehensive in Sussex in the 70s. I can still tell you what an oxbow lake is. Comprehensive covers everything. The darkness was not comprehensive because the light still shines. I would get down to turn the lights off, but there's lots of windows, so it won't make the same effect, but if we turn all the lights off in here, that candle will still shine. That candle will still shine brightly enough for people to be able to read music.
just. Yeah. Yeah. Helps if you've got a backlight on your iPad. Anyway, but that light will still shine. And once your eyes adjust to the new, you'll see more than you think you can. However small the amount of God's love that seems to be in our lives, it's enough to light the darkest corners. And I know this to be true. Go out from here and live that life, people. Bring God's light into the world. Let's pray. Almighty Father God, however dark it seems, however wrong things get, light shines in the darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and it is you. Shine your light in us, dear Lord. Shine your light on our lives, that we may see where we're going.